Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last week, Tillman Fertitta claimed to have offered Mike D'Antoni one of the best base salaries of all NBA coaches. As we went off the air on Friday, Jonathan Fagan refuted that report and also gave specifics on the contract, which Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, actually confirmed. Fertitta did not offer Mike D'Antoni a $5 million base salary. It was only $2.5 million guaranteed, and it could have also been a $2.5 million buyout if D'Antoni had been fired before the playoffs in 2020-2021 season. Fertitta, however, when he met with the media, gave the specifics of the contract, and they've been refuted basically by the front office in his own words. And it's safe to say that Mike D'Antoni will be coaching, as for lack of a better term, as a lame duck coach the next season, which is fine with me. I don't think I would give D'Antoni an extension either. I would make him prove it, but I just wouldn't pretend. I basically wouldn't pretend like I didn't want to, which is what it looks like Fertitta is doing. But as we were talking about this, OG, you said you have a prediction about the Houston Rockets and the history of the relationship between Morey, Fertitta, and D'Antoni.
Yeah, I'm not going to bury the lead here. I think there's about a 50-50 chance that Mike D'Antoni is not the head coach at the end of next season. And there's a number of reasons for that. Foremost, you just said it, you know, that Tillman Fertitta basically said something that has been proved wrong on a number of fronts and has been confirmed by his own general manager. We gave him one of the best contracts in the NBA. Well, that is not true. And Daryl Morey confirmed it. The numbers say as much, that there is at least a dozen NBA head coaches who make more than $4 million a year. You offered him a base salary of $2.5 million a year. They didn't say it, but it is insulting for a coach like that. And you also said that you don't have a problem with them making him coach out the final year of the season. I got a big problem with it. I first of all, that's just not the way you do business at a real high level. If had he lost three seasons in a row, had a losing record or 500 record the last 3 years, yeah, make him prove it. What does he have to prove? He's got nothing left to prove other than getting past Golden State. This is just so out of the ordinary to make a head coach with his pedigree coach out the final year. And the reason I say that that is going to lead me to believe that he's got a 50-50 chance of not being the head coach at the end of the year is that stress on the relationships throughout the front office. They can stand shoulder to shoulder. They can have these impromptu press availabilities, but there is stress in that building between general manager, president, owner, and head coach. It's obvious. So those bad feelings, just they're not going to get better unless he gets a new contract. They're only going to fester, and it's going to get worse. And at the first sign of someone getting, not getting what they want, or someone struggling, namely D'Antoni, if Chris Paul gets hurt, if Chris Paul gets traded, for God's sakes, that's on the table at some point, according to Wojnarowski, and confirmed also by Daryl Morey. First time something goes bad, I could see the priority victim of it all is going to be Mike D'Antoni.
This is the thing that Tillman Fertitta needs to, if I were giving Tillman Fertitta advice, and I know that he's a billionaire and he's a successful businessman and stuff, but sports is what I do. This has been what I do. I would just say this. I know he's a young NBA owner, and he doesn't have to take this advice. I'm just saying this. You got to be careful with how public you make things. Mm-hmm. And I know he made a comment like, you know, we didn't go to the press. Well, you kind of did. Because if you just look at the timeline of when this became public, he mentioned Mike D'Antoni's age, and he said he didn't know if Mike D'Antoni wanted to coach. Mm-hmm. That was the first we'd heard about Mike D'Antoni getting an extension or not. But anyone who's listened to Mike D'Antoni knows that the guy wants to coach forever. That was when it first went public, which led to D'Antoni coming out and saying, yes, I want to coach. I'd love to work out an extension. And that's where that happened. The report that came out last Friday or last Thursday that Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets had cut off ties and they weren't negotiating anymore, that's not a unique report. Like, reports like that come out all the time. So if Fertitta's sensitive, and he appears to be a little bit sensitive to that stuff being public, he's got to get used to it, because that kind, those kind of reports are going to come out all the time. What doesn't happen all the time, and what hasn't, what I haven't seen in the last three decades, is going public and trying to give specifics about the contract with your head coach, coming out and saying that the head coach did you a favor by doing this, and going up there and having a state. That's not something that happens very often. And maybe Fertitta just has a different way of doing things, but you got to be careful, because the one thing about coaches, first of all, if you want a good NBA coach, you're going to have to pay for it eventually. Right. Like, if you want a great coach, you're going to have to pay him, and it's not going to be incentive based. That's just not how this business works. It might work in restaurants. That's not how this works. And second of all, these coaches, you know this, OG, you covered the NBA for a long, long time. These coaches are tight. And if you're openly,
it's a sewing circle.
And we know that there's going to be drama, but when you're openly up there disrespecting your head coach, and I do feel like it was disrespectful the time
Absolutely.
He had. I feel like the way he was like saying stuff was a little bit disrespectful to Mike D'Antoni. Now, he would say some nice stuff, and then it would be followed up with that. But if you're going to do that, it's going to be harder than you think to land an accomplished coach like Mike D'Antoni. And you can say what you want about Mike D'Antoni. You can question how his teams haven't been able to get over the hump. A lot of it's been bad luck, but a lot of it's been his own doing, and he's come up short. You can say what you want, but he's a very accomplished coach. Right. If you publicly treat coaches like this, you got to be very, very careful, and it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to get an accomplished head coach to come coach your organization.
I promise you, every coach in the NBA is like in their little sewing circle, as I say, because it's a fraternity, you know, of head coaches in the NBA. They're looking at each other or texting or calling or talking, you know, at the finals if they happen to be there. You believe what they're doing to D'Antoni down in Houston? Can you believe that? You don't do that. I get your point. You know, prove it. But he doesn't have anything else to prove, man. Just one more win. One more win is all he's got to do. And if you're making a guy coach for 1 year on a 1 year contract because he can't win one more game against the Golden State Warriors, well, then who is the right coach? You know, who are you going to give a longer term contract to?
That's neither here nor there. And he's not getting to hire his own assistants, which is almost unheard of at this point.
Right.
I think it's very clear they don't look at Mike D'Antoni as a long term coach. They look at this as, you know, a smaller window, and they like to get a different coach. If I thought Fertitta was willing to actually pay the amount of money it would take to fire D'Antoni right now, I think that would be probably what's in the best interest. And I think you let your basketball guy, Daryl Morey, who's one of the best GMs in the game, you let him hire a coach and bring someone else in. Landry Locker, John Lopez, talking about the drama with the Rockets.
One more thing on that real quick. What's a good up-and-coming team in the NBA? Phoenix?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
They have a cheap owner, though.
No, but hold on.
Very cheap owner.
Even better then. He's one of those owners that's
He's the worst owner in sports that nobody talks about.
But let me ask you this. If they just let Mike D'Antoni walk scot-free, what would he command on the market tomorrow?
$5 million, probably. Probably about the
$5 million, 5 years.
Guaranteed.
Right?
Yeah, he would.
So that's all you need to know about how you're treating Mike D'Antoni.
And this is the other thing that Tillman Fertitta has got to be very careful of, because he likes fame, I guess. Is that fair to say?
He's an out front guy.
Yeah, I mean, he has a TV show. He's a little bit flashy. He likes to speak his mind. This isn't like, you know, a TV show where, you know, you can say stuff and then you can present however you want to present things. And this isn't like a boardroom at, you know, one of his multi-million-dollar or billion-dollar businesses where what you say in the boardroom stays in that boardroom. When you go on the record and you say stuff, there's a sense of accountability that comes with sports. And when Fertitta came out at the end of the season, and I think even the Rockets in the front office have, they probably think this is a misspeak. I've heard the word misspeak a couple times. He said that it was a fluke that they got below the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how it happened. However, earlier this year, when Adam Spillane was doing what he does with the Rockets in reporting and getting information and getting sound, this is what Tillman Fertitta said about the luxury tax.
As long as one of the next 3 years we're not over it, I don't care. We have a chance to win a championship this year. If they want to go $10 million over, I don't really care. We also look at the ability to get us lower, so if there's another opportunity, we have something to do also.
All right, see, this is the thing. This is where you kind of talk out of both ends, in my opinion, because if it's understood that you have to get under the luxury tax, which I can't believe that the Rockets would even be thinking about that. It almost seems like you would just lose money and then make up for it a little bit later when you don't have James Harden and Chris Paul isn't as old. The fact that they weren't going to spend the mid-level is just asinine to me. But this is the thing about saying what he just said. If you do have to get over the luxury tax one of the next 3 years, then it doesn't make sense to do it next season, because Chris Paul's contract goes up, as we know. James Harden's contract goes up, as we know. Clint Capella's goes up, as we know. So based on that, and based on him openly saying right there, you just heard him say we needed to get below it. That's what he said. Yeah. And then when it happens, to say it was a fluke, we know that that's not true. We know that they got underneath it. And Daryl Morey's not trading first-round picks for people to take on salary just to do it, and flipping second-round picks and giving away players and then paying cash considerations for Melo and them. It's obvious that, despite the fact that he said it was a fluke, that Daryl Morey was told that you have to be under it
or
in one of the next 3 years.
Or maybe they came to an agreement, you know, Morey and Fertitta, saying, look, we're going to have to be underneath it one of the next 3 years anyway in order to be able to afford certain players. So maybe they came to an agreement. I still don't. Tillman Fertitta can go to Willie G's or McCormick and Schmick's or Landry's or any of his restaurants.
Damn good restaurants.
All of them good. And, you know, Vic and Anthony's. And teach a floor manager to get better. Or fire a floor manager and get another one from another restaurant and teach him how to be a floor manager. He can't teach what Mike D'Antoni brings to this club. You know, the best offense in the NBA, proven playoff a record, the winningest team in the division, or certainly one of the winningest teams in the division over the last 10 years. That's not a floor manager. That's an NBA head coach. And I think when he conflates those two things is when he gets in trouble.
He's also got to be driving himself crazy if Tillman Fertitta really does like incentive deals. I wonder how he feels about this Chris Paul deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, because my goodness. And a lot of people are saying he's trying to instill accountability. Well, okay, that's fine. It's just not really the way it works in the NBA. And it's going to be interesting to see how this goes moving forward. Like I said, the sky isn't falling because you have James Harden. But, I mean, Tillman Fertitta, very good at running restaurants. I'm a little bit hesitant about what kind of NBA owner he's going to be, especially when life after Harden begins. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig.
But what do you know?
Sports Radio 610. I don't know a damn thing, John. That's
certainly
been told
about crawfish.
That many times. I don't know anything about crawfish. And speaking of crawfish, this is where the loophole wrath is coming
You're catching hell right now. And I'm going to take the loophole side on this, and I'll explain why.
I said at the start of the show, and I 100% believe this, crawfish is overrated. It made Figgy mad. It made the OG mad, and it made a lot of hardcore Texans mad. I think it's way too much effort for way little reward. And I'm not saying it doesn't taste good. It's just a little too much effort for my liking. I put a poll out. 63% say yes, crawfish is overrated right now. So I do have backing, but I don't have the backing of the opinions that I treasure the most, which is Figgy Fig and John Lopez. You both think I'm absolutely nuts.
You are nuts. And I think, Figgy, I think this is what... Experience matters when you have crawfish, when you're eating crawfish. You can open them quicker, you can get to the meat quicker. You know that. Let me give you a tip, all right?
Thanks, John.
Do it the next time you eat crawfish.
Just give me the tip, dude.
Eat the potatoes and corn, and some people put hard-boiled eggs.
I eat that.
Hold on.
Hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah, have you ever had hard-boiled egg in a crawfish
Hell
pot?
No.
Hell no.
Dude. That broccoli.
Hard-boiled eggs are...
Broccoli's awesome in there.
Really good. In fact, I've added them to a couple of ones that I've done, but usually potatoes and corn, right?
Terrible.
And mushrooms. I've had mushrooms in them, too. But anyway, while you're opening the crawfish, eat that stuff first. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're basing everything on opening a crawfish and getting the meat out, you know, you're going to... You know, I get that it takes a while, but first of all, it's delicious. I mean, they're delicious. But eat some of the corn and potatoes and mushrooms, and I like hard-boiled eggs, as you're eating that stuff, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't even – all I need is the corn. No. I'm good with the crawfish, man.
And the corn holds the heat the best.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, I'm just not really big on the citations.
You lost your damn mind.
Yeah, I know Fudge is big on the bugs, so he'll get down with them, but – crawfish overrated.
But I'm going to have to cuss and discuss this thing.
572-469. I'd say it's about 50%. Some people are a little bit upset with it. I also will say this. Figgy's kind of new to Texas, so maybe he just appreciates the experience. They don't do that in Cleveland, do they?
Not really.
It's hard to get them.
They're
delicious. Yeah. Now, though, it is an event. I mean, it's not something you do
every... It's more about the gathering, dude.
Yeah, it's not something you do every Wednesday, you know, or Thursday or whatever. It's kind of a special occasion, although I know some people that eat crawfish every week.
It's more about
me.
The gathering.
You?
I would, yeah.
Mike Meltzer.
He does?
Yeah. And I was actually at a crawfish thing with Mike Meltzer this weekend, and I got to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
He committed the biggest party foul that you can commit at a party.
Why am I not
and
surprised?
And there's a lot of party fouls that can be committed. What Mike Meltzer did this weekend is the worst.
Really?
100% the worst.
What did he do?
All right, so Mike took a couple shots. He took a couple shots of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
People put him on there. And as they're going around, they had free drink coupons.
Oh. So this was like an organized party.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had free drink coupons.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get their free drink coupons, okay?
Right.
Mike Meltzer's not drinking, so he turns it down.
Is he insane?
Like, how selfish do you have to be to do that? Because everybody likes free drinks. Free drinks are the best drinks.
And you know how awesome it is?
He could have given that to somebody.
Well, yeah, you know how awesome it is if he's like, hey, Landry or whomever, I'm not going to drink, but you can have these. All of a sudden, he's a hero.
Yeah, but he said no.
I don't want to use those drink coupons because
yes.
I'm not drinking. Are you insane?
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you're not drinking, you give it to your friends.
I like to know
it's free.
The drink coupon person that always throws a little extra in there. Those are always good.
What's the best kind of beer? People were having this discussion. I think stadium draft beer is my favorite kind of beer. Like, yours has got to be fishing boat beer, right?
After fishing. I don't drink when I fish.
Not at all?
Unless I'm not driving. If I'm driving, I don't drink. Captaining, I guess, would be the proper. But the best beer you will ever have is after you get off the water, nice hot day. Like, actually, I did this weekend. I went. My son came fishing with me. We fished till 2:30, almost 3 o'clock, and it's hot. I get the boat on the trailer, get it back to the place. And before I even open my door, I tell my son, go up to the Texaco and find the 4 coldest beers you can. 2 for me, 2 for you. And the cold beer off the water is the absolute best. Absolute best. Right off the water after yard work, that's real good. After yard work.
By the way, someone just texted me a great idea. Uh-huh. What's your favorite kind of beer, Figgy? Figgy's not really a beer drinker, is he?
Yeah, not really, man. But I did like the blind beer. You got me here, too, at Twin Peaks.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Next time I go there, I'm going to get that.
I hit some Hefeweizen this weekend. That stuff's good.
Some what?
Man.
Some Oski-Woski?
Hefeweizen.
What the hell is that?
It's a German beer. Really good. Hefeweizen.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You've never had that?
No.
Are you insane, too? You're insane twice today.
Have not.
It's really, really good.
I mean, who drinks that?
I do. I just told you I did it this weekend.
And how do you find the coldest beers at the gas? Like, what do you mean? Like,
the ones at the bottom
of
the
tub. Was he supposed to dig around?
Yeah, the ones at the bottom of the tub.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Hang with me, man. I'll teach you a thing or two.
Yeah, so they don't call you the OG for nothing. I got a suggestion from somebody, listener of the show, Big Loophole.
Mm-hmm.
They said that we should have a nonverbal, like, body language expert watch the Carlos Correa video on mute and just tell us their overall thoughts.
Well, I told you earlier what I thought, and you didn't like it. He looks like he's a Vietnam POW veteran signing Morse code with his blinking Morse code. Save me as
nah,
he's blinking.
Come on, man. I think he's just a little bit. I think he did something silly, and he's trying to keep it real.
I think.
How's he going to handle the media scrum? Because that's coming, right? Like, when he comes there, he's going to be...
Is it? Or is he just going to say, yeah, we already addressed this? Which is kind of like a loophole, no pun intended, to the whole YouTube channel thing that she did. You know, oh, yeah, we addressed it right there. But you didn't answer any questions. Like, tell me about that 6-7-8 hour delay between the morning and the you being on the lineup card and AJ Hinch finally having
to take
you off.
He's got to face the music, right?
Mm-hmm. He should.
I mean, do you think he's going to get grilled, though?
I mean, maybe not grilled, but they got. I know our reporters that cover the Astros are going to ask him the legit questions.
Dude, someone says I don't like crawfish because that no one will add Hidden Valley mix into the boil. I bet that would be good. I bet if you put some Hidden Valley ranch mix in there, it'd be good. While you're talking,
a lot of people backing me up on the Hefeweizen. It's a wheat beer.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, I bet you would love it. You need to get one. Get a Polliner. Is it Polliner?
Not too many beers I don't like, John Lopez.
Yeah, no, I bet you'll love the head.
Not too many beers I do not like. Someone says it's dank. I thought you described something else with that, but okay. I got you. Landry Locker, John Lopez.
He said that one particular one.
Figgy Fig.
He means
you.
It in a good way.
Sports Radio 610. Going to go around the NFL. The Texans are doing something the OG says they probably shouldn't, and the most petty football player in the history of ever gets petty around the NFL next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.